heard a little voice whispering in my ear, "Preach it, preach it, preach it." Thanks, Mike.
Amen. And
Exodus 12, since this is so fitting of where we are at. Exodus chapter 12. My message is on my shirt today. It says, "What did Yeshua do?" And then on the back, somebody wants to read it.
What did Yeshua do? He kept the Sabbath, taught Torah, kept the feast, healed the sick, performed miracles, died for our sin, conquered death, etc. He's coming back real soon.
That's basically what the scriptures tell us. Just thinking about this season of coming out of Egypt, you know, what does that mean to us spiritually? We're on this journey. And you start in Exodus 12, it says, "The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of the month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house." So we've done that. We've done that this week. We took a lamb, and that lamb being Yeshua, or Emmanuel. I like to call him Emmanuel because the scriptures actually says his name will be called Emmanuel. I can prove that.
Yeah.
And that means he's going to be with us. So this is what this whole process of coming out of Egypt, and Moses had to step out in faith and believe the burning bush being spoke through, I believe, probably Yeshua, Yod Heh Vav Heh is what it says, the word that became flesh, speaking to him. On that tenth day, they took a lamb. So we took a lamb. We chose. We went through this process each and every year, recommitting ourselves to Emmanuel living within us, making a new covenant, like an anniversary. And I hope you did that. And we took his blood and his bread and his body that was broken for us in remembrance. Because he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So I pray that each one of us is doing this every year, that you can do this in remembrance of him. Because what will happen if we don't, we will forget. And we won't come out of Egypt. I was just thinking about it, you know, just singing that song, "Let my people go." I mean, that's where we're at. You know, spiritually, I had Jehovah Witness come this last fall. It was on atonement. We were celebrating atonement in our home, fasting, and Jehovah Witness, a couple of witnesses came to our homes. So I opened the door, talked to them, and I talked about we're keeping atonement today and what that meant. And she said to me, "Well, isn't that for Israel when they came out of Egypt?" And I said, "Look around you. Aren't you still in Egypt? You know, we're still in Egypt, trying to come out of Egypt. You know, we're not there yet. But hopefully as we accept the Messiah, hope this week we've accepted the Messiah as our Savior, come under His authority and His shed blood. Because if you didn't do that in remembrance of Him, you will forget Him." Each and every year, each every Sabbath, the feast, that's what He did. And this is what frustrates me about the world. And they say all these things that Yeshua did or Emmanuel did was against us. It was never against us. It was for us. And it brought righteousness to Him. But we're saying it can't bring righteousness to us. It brings a curse to us. So do we really accept the Lamb that died for us when we say that? I think not. I think we're accepting a false doctrine of a false lamb. But I mean, I don't want to be judgmental, but I'm just looking at the fruits of it. It should be changing your life. The testimonies, when He came and brought the testimonies, we call them Ten Commandments, but literally they were the testimonies. They testify of Him. When you keep the Sabbath, when you honor your parents, you're testifying of Him because it will bring fruit in your life. Just as this is coming out of Egypt will bring fruit in your life. You have to do this all the time. We have to fight. I mean, I was fighting. I'm only living an hour and a half, and you know, sometimes I get burdened down with the world and feel the pain of the world and the people around me, and it just overwhelms me at times. And, you know, it's just like, I just want to hide. Yeah. You know, I'm just tired of the world, fighting all the time, you know, because I walk into a room, I feel people's pain. Yeah. And it suffocates me sometimes, you know, and it's just, but I got to let it go. I got to remember, in this week, the Messiah is my Lamb. He died for me. He died for me, but it's our responsibility to do what He did because it brought righteousness to Him. But we say it was a burden. He died so we don't have to do this anymore. Keep His feast. Claim Him as our Lamb every year. Because we will forget. We will forget, and we don't know how to come out of Egypt without His example. So that's why I'm here today, to shine a little bit of that, this little light of mine, while I have a little, hopefully a little light to shine in the world out there. But it's because of Him living through me. But I made a choice this week to claim Him as my Messiah, as my Lamb. So if we continue on, your Lamb shall be without blemish. He was out with blemish. I mean, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I want this to become not from tablets of stone no longer, but tablets of flesh on your heart. This literally becomes a part of you, a living sacrifice. The house, and if that household be too little for the Lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to eating, so you make the count of the Lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, the male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two doorposts, in the upper doorposts of the house, and wherein thou shalt eat. The timing is not important to me. Yeshua did it perfectly. What's important to me, are you putting that blood on your doorpost? Did you do that on Passover? Or did you just come to get it a symbol? Or were you doing that spiritually in your heart, putting that blood on your doorpost to protect you from the plague that they're calling a plague? If it's truly a plague, there's going to be at least a third of mankind die. We know by that by prophecy. You know, so I don't know if we're there yet. But, I mean, that would be a trembling plague, you know, if that prophecy is true. And you shall keep it until the 14th day. Okay. And they shall take the blood of the, and strike it on the two sides of the post and the upper door post of the house wherein thou shalt eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast it with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Unleavened bread. So we're here to eat of that unleavened bread this week. Every day, physically, I try to eat unleavened bread. But spiritually, hopefully we're trying to eat of Him, His flesh, every day this week. And hopefully every day of the year. But He specifically says it for this week because it's an example of coming out of Egypt spiritually to us. And we have to take action. We have to do the marching. Marching in the Lord's army. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, or however you want to say, Emmanuel's army. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roast it with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of the raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs, and with his pertinence thereof. And you shall be... shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. You know, this is one thing I remember growing up in Worldwide. You know, they taught us this. We literally burned. My dad was in charge of burning the bread, and he had me do that this week. You know, we literally burned the bread with fire, following the example that we were given. And thus shall ye eat, with your loins girded and shoes on your feet and your staff in hand, and you shall eat it in haste. There's the Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh's Passover, Emmanuel's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt in this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. So we saw that. Each one of those plagues was representing a god of Egypt. So the scriptures is true. And this day you shall do unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast unto Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh throughout your generations, and you shall keep it a feast for an ordinance forever. So we know that. And he says, I will not eat of this, you know, take of this cup until I come again. So to me, the Passover is not completely fulfilled until we do it with him again. And according to this scripture, it says forever. I mean, that's the limited English translation of it. But I take it for what it means. I've always had the heart of a child. I've always felt his voice guiding me. Maybe I'm crazy, but I feel like I can pray and ask him anything, and he'll answer me in his timing when he's ready to, when I'm willing to submit under what he really wants. And I have dreams, and it's just, but it's nothing I wanted to say because it's a personal relationship. But I've always felt him in my presence, my guiding force, even as a child. You know, and I didn't have the desire to do the things the other kids did. I always felt alone. So, and I've always honored my parents, and I try to do the feasts. I mean, but it also says that's not enough. You know? He said, well, Yeshua's own word said that's not enough to do these things. He said to the young person that, go and sell all that you have. Well, that's literally what we're doing this week. We sold everything that we have, you know, physically, shut that world out and came here to fellowship. And it was a burden because we made it a burden. You know, keeping his ways are not that hard. It's because the world fights this, our family fights this, we fight ourselves. You know, that's what makes it the burden. If we just did it, if everybody kept the Sabbath, everybody did the feasts, everything did what Yeshua did, which brought righteousness to his life. It just blows me away. How can you say that he did these unrighteous things and he was my Savior? It just does not compute. It doesn't compute. It doesn't add up. It's like the opposite of saying what Hasatan or the adversary said. He said, thou shalt not surely die. You know, it's the same voice to me. In my childlike heart, it's the same voice. We shall surely die the first death, but we don't have to die the second death. And that's what the Messiah came for. We're still going to have to die that first death because of our sins. So, but my point is, you don't have to sin as much as the world does. You don't have to have as many penalties and baggage as the world does. It can be a different world. You can be in his kingdom now. Come under his authority now. Do these things that he asked you to do every year. Maybe we don't understand it in its fulfillment, but it will bless you. I shared it with my kids. When I grew up, my church wouldn't let us do it with the kids until you got baptized. But I think they need his shed blood today and now, you know, and his bread. You know, my heart goes out to them, what they struggle with. They're being pulled. If we don't pull them back in some way, we lose them. And I'm failing as a father. I know I am. Because they don't want to be here. But I know it's their responsibility. Their choices. Okay, let's see where I'm at. A memorial. Verse 15. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from that first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Does that law still apply today? Is all truly, totally fulfilled? I don't think Passover is truly fulfilled yet. Has the first fruits been harvested? Have we actually drunk of the cup with Messiah? Literally? You know, we're remembering him. We're bringing him into our... If we don't do this, just like the Shabbat, I fight so hard because of fellowship at home. I mean, I put the videos out there that I'm studying in front of the kids, but they don't want to do it very long. You know? And I can remember fighting it, but I remember always having to write down the verses. You know, we were a crazy church where our kids had to write down verses, and we brought our own Bibles, and we had to learn it ourselves. You know, maybe that was wrong, but I'm here today because of that. You know, but I grew up in Worldwide. I'm here today because of the encouragement I got of being and being obedient. Right or wrong, that was the path I had. Yeah, there was bad apples, bad leadership. But when I was there, it was a family to me. The ministers I had were family. I love them. You shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day and the generations by your ordinance forever. So did we think about that this week? Did we think about coming, his armies? Brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. We just sang the song, "The Lord Army." I hope we're a part of that. We're living that today. We're rehearsing it again, or remembering again. So again, I ask myself, am I eating of his unleavened bread today? You know, in the journey there, I think somewhere about getting to the Red Sea, somewhere in that process on that road that Dad was talking about. You know, that's the process they're going through, and the process we're going through. That cleansing process of a journey in the wilderness. So in the first month of verse 18, in the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even the soul that shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. So how do we bring this to life? Okay, we used to just take the high days off and then go back to our homes. But if we really are truly bring this to life, we're doing it today, aren't we? We're out in the wilderness, experiencing it, you know, trying to get leaven out of our lives with one another, sharpening one another, throwing our thoughts out there, what we're learning, what we're dealing with. I'm dealing with family, trying to make my family whole. Tired of sickness and disease. 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses. For whoever seedeth, for this is which is leaven, even thou shalt shall be cut off. I mean, do we take this serious? I mean, what does it mean to be cut off? Any thoughts, Mark?
The Hebrew word means you can be cut off, like put to death. The very least is put out, you're done. And once you put them out outside of the camp, they wouldn't survive.
So when I think of being cut off, I think of no relationship, no communication, nothing coming back. Whoa, that's terrible.
So to have no communication, it could be extreme as being put to death or put out of the camp and not being able to survive. I mean, do any of you want that?
No.
So bare minimum, physically, we better not eat leavened bread. I mean, to the best of our knowledge anyways, I mean, we're going to screw up. We're do the best we can with what we're in control of.
In a lot of prison camps, that was one of the major things they used for punishment, was isolation. They were people just so crazy, they couldn't handle it.
So the prison camps use isolationism to make you go crazy, so to speak. So I want to be a part of that. I mean, I don't want to be cut off. So I think bare minimum, at least this week, we should do it physically, and then hopefully we can glean from that spiritually and eat of his body. And that's what we started. We chose the lamb. We chose who our lamb was. I think if we don't leave that process, if we leave that part of the process out where we... Each one of us chooses that lamb and authority in our lives. We're missing. We can't come out of Egypt. You have to start there. You have to choose the lamb every year. You have to recommit yourself because you'll forget. He says, "In remembrance, in remembrance, in remembrance of me."
Yeah.
We will forget. You don't keep one Sabbath and you go do your own thing. How much easier is it to do the same thing next time?
Right.
You start forgetting. That's just 1 week.
Absolutely.
What about a year?
Yeah.
You know, this is important. This is of value. This brings righteousness to your life. The Torah says these things will bring righteousness to your life, but the world says no. It don't. It brings death.
Right.
No, that's a lie. It brings righteousness to your life. If you don't spend time with Him and showing that you are committed, the Messiah did these things. He fulfilled these things. He is the bread, the unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel. Is that not who we are? The elders in training? I mean, you think about it. 144,000 leadership of 12 of each of all of Israel not having to be made white through tribulation. If that's all of mankind that's ever existed, that's not very many people of His children that are in that leadership role. That's humbling. I'm just saying, I'm just looking at my own heart. Okay, so I'm going to have to be made white with tribulation if you're the part of the great multitude. This is part of being made right, white and right through tribulation, because we're out here fighting the world, going against what it says to do. Even my own heart and thoughts, I didn't really want to fight. I just wanted to stay home and hide. You know, but it's just Patty and I came to the conclusion we're just going to go. If they don't let us come, they don't let us come, we'll go. That's all we can do. Okay, called the elders. So we're part of the eldership. We're, at least in our families, I'm a priest in my own family. I'm responsible to be here, bare minimum. I hope my kids and family want to come. I enjoy it being with them. I waited a long time to have a family, and I enjoy spending it with them. I pray that they would. I wish they'd be excited about it like I do. Just, I don't want to be anywhere else.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
Even though it's hard because you love people and you feel their pain and you hurt for them, but you got to let that go and know it's out of your control. I mean, I love Mark to death, and you know, it's just, but he's out of my control. I have to realize that. I can't even control myself.
It's interesting, Jeff, because just one word, at least both of you from another person in our group, can make all the difference in the world. No, at least both of words.
See, what's frustrating me now, I was used to growing up, I could pray, and it would be answered. But as I get older, I'm learning I got to pray with others, and sometimes people complain because I pray too long. But that's between me and my relationship. But it's, I'm finding more power in praying where more people can get together in agreement, as the Scripture says.
That's what it says.
You start getting more answered prayers.
Right.
Okay, so with my own daughter, it's type 1 diabetes. We're going on 7 years now fighting this. I mean, just woke up this morning, she's 450. Her port came out of the side. I'm just so sick of relying on man. You know?
Yeah.
But I know my Messiah is keeping her alive every night.
Right, exactly.
You know, but yet that's not my heart. My heart is that she'd be made whole instantly.
Right.
You know, by His shed blood, we gave her the blood. We gave her the, and that's the next place I want to go. I want to go to the sacrifice of leprosy, spiritual leprosy in our hearts. And let's just go there. That's a good point where we're at. So the point is, up to this point is, are we marching out of Egypt? Did we choose the Lamb this year? If we forgot to do that, if we didn't take it serious, we're cutting ourselves off. And I don't want to be there. Even though I'm not perfect in this walk, I struggle in my thoughts. Fight. Okay, so let's go to Leviticus. Mark was talking about it. I just laughed at myself because I was thinking about going to Leviticus today. Actually, a lot of the songs correspond exactly to what I was thinking today. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 12. Let's see. Note 14. I hope this is the right one. Yeah. Leviticus chapter 14. Now, when I read this, I don't think about physical leprosy. I'm thinking about spiritual leprosy, that we have the sin that cuts us off, that little voice that's lying in us that we're not able to do these things. You're not worthy.
Yeah.
That's spiritual leprosy. It's cutting off your flesh out of the camp so you can't do the work that you were made to do. And so I look at my daughter. She has this autoimmune disease. To me, that's spiritual leprosy because it cuts off what she can do. But yet, through it, it actually makes her more spiritual.
Right.
Absolutely. She's the most spiritual kid I have.
I know. I realize that.
Because she struggles. But I love my kids. I just pray the best for them. So chapter 14. And Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh spoke unto Moses, saying, thus shall be the law of leper in the day of his cleansing. So this is what we're here for. We're here in this day of cleansing through his unleavened bread.
Because we're lepers, right?
Because we're spiritual lepers. We're cut off. We can't fellowship with Messiah in our flesh. But when we receive his shed blood, his bread, we did that. Hopefully we did that in honor and reverence of him. Now we can fellowship with him. Now we're not cut off. But we have to make that commitment every year. Okay. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leopard. That's my prayer. That the plague of leprosy be healed in each one of you. The spiritual leprosy that's cutting us off. That autoimmune disease is attacking your body. Whether it's be toxins it's trying to get rid of or whatever it may be the cause. What is the definition of leprosy, Mark? What is the scientific definition of leprosy? Just a...
Well, scientific, I don't know. But your flesh rots.
Your flesh literally rots. And stinks. Well, doesn't sin stink? When you're angry at a brother, don't you stink? Can you be in the same room with anger? Scriptures say don't even talk to an angry man. You know? But I pray for that angry man that he can overcome and forgive. But it takes time. So, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leopard, may the leprosy be healed in all of us leopards. Then shall the priest command to take for him that is cleansed two birds alive and clean, cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. So why is this important to me? That word bird there is my daughter's name, Zipporah. So I think about Zipporah's autoimmune disease, her body literally rotting from the inside out, killing her organs, not allowing it to work, her pancreas. I think about her, the skipping, because her name means skipping little bird. And her middle name is Eden, skipping little bird of paradise. So I think about this two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet. And I was thinking about this when I gave her the blood of Yeshua or Emmanuel, and I gave her the bread, the unleavened bread, that she may be healed. And I prayed over her, and we did as a group. For her healing. And so I was thinking about this little bird, the cleansing of leprosy. Why is this important? And the priest shall command that one of these birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. Who's the living running water? Yeshua. The earthen vessel. We are a part of that earthen vessel. Her body is a part of that earthen vessel. He's the living water that should be flowing through us. As for the living bird, he shall take it. So first we have this blood. We did that at Passover, didn't we? We took the blood, and we also had the water. We put our feet in his water, our blood in his water. We're actually doing the sacrificial oblation to him of asking for forgiveness. Cleanse us. As for the living bird, he shall take it and the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. So I just envision myself this skipping little bird that gave its life. I butchered my own chickens and I always hold them and I thank them for their service. Before we, you know, I take their life. So think about that with my daughter, the skipping little bird. But Yeshua was the one that got in the water for us. Yeshua died for us. So what? What can happen to the other live bird? Zipporah. See, this sacrifice is called Zipporah Purim in the Hebrew. Okay, so what happens? And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed of the leprous seven times. I think 7 years we've been going through this. 7 years. And shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. See yourself as that living bird that gets to go into the open field. Why? Because you are obedient. You did what Yeshua did to bring righteousness to your life. You took his shed blood in the water. You were baptized in the water, cleaned by his blood and water, his spirit, to set you free. He didn't have to do that for us, but he did. It's hard when your kids are rebellious and rejecting your authority, and you know, but you love them so much. Wow, he loved us so much to turn the other cheek, you know, and go in that water for us. That bird, Zipporah, Zipporah Purim. There's the cedar wood in this. Any implications on the cedar wood, Mark? Any thoughts on the cedar wood? I know it's an incorruptible wood. It lasts a long time. The animals are hard to break it down, insects. I think a lot of the temple was made out of cedar wood, if I'm correct. Cedar's Lebanon. So there's a spiritual connection in that of staying true, of being strong. The scarlet, you know what the scarlet had to do. I believe it was on a scapegoat, was it not? The scarlet thread being made, it was actually the miracle occurred that it became white. So this is what this is about. We're asking this week to became made white so that we can be set free and fly. But Yeshua had to pay the price for us to do that. As for the living bird, it shall be taken in the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird. So you're literally dipping the living bird into the blood of the other that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle it upon him that is to be cleansed for the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose into the open field. And he that is to be cleansed shall wash his clothes, and shave off all his hair, and wash himself in the water, that he may be clean. And then after that he shall come into the camp, and shall tarry abroad out of his tent 7 days. So, we're doing that today.
Just looking up cedar wood in the essential oils, and it says that it stimulates the limbic and pineal glands, which clues your thinking, and it's known for its purifying properties.
So it's the purification properties that was mentioned, that the oil, the actual oil, is used for purification. It actually cleanses your brain, you were saying, which makes so much sense. I mean, there's a reason he said this. It wasn't for no reason, but it all pictures Yeshua, our elder brother, Emmanuel, what he did for us. But we have a responsibility to come before him. So I'm coming before him today and claiming this promise, because he did these things for my daughter and for others that are dealing with spiritual leprosy today. Because as priests in my family, I have that responsibility to do these things in remembrance of him. So, I mean, it's talking about cleaning the lymph system. I mean, there's actually literally, we have to jump up and down or move up and down to get our valves working properly to get rid of our toxins. So what are we doing today? If you're praising him at all today, you are cleansing yourself, you spiritual leopards. So are we being obedient today? Are we being obedient this week? I think we are. You know, and I pray that each one of you be blessed in your spiritual obedience, because it will bring righteousness. We're doing these little things that don't mean a hill of beans to the world. It's done away. It's against you. He died for that. Yeah, he died for this. But he died for spiritual healing. But we still have to be obedient. I still have to bring her before the priest. He's still alive today. Don't you think I can do this today? I do. Maybe I'm wrong.
I do.
Yes.
And don't you think it's a perfect time to do it?
Absolutely.
When his shed blood is going into the water with us so that we can be set free from sin? It kind of changes your perspective, doesn't it? When you think about a little bird flying, they have a whole different perspective after being set free.
I appreciate your perspective. Could you give me an idea of what you think about verse 9?
Okay, so let's continue down. So you're set free for 7 days. Tarry abroad about in the tent 7 days. So verse 9. But it shall be on the seventh day that you shall shave off all his hair, off his head and his beard and his eyebrows, and even all his hair that shall shave off. He shall wash his clothes, and also he shall wash his flesh in water and shall be clean. I don't know. I just see baptism. Basically you got to cut off the flesh. I mean, spiritual circumcision is cutting out all the things that can be infected. And like when my kids had lice and we had lice in the house, we shaved off all our hairs.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
You know, to get rid of that plague. You know, whether that's right or wrong. Mark, you have any thoughts on the shaving process and the washing clothes? We know water is a cleansing agent. We know we need to be washed and be baptized at least once in our life. I mean, some say there's mikvahs involved where every year you basically rebaptize yourself. I'm not sure on that, but I can see the recommitment process in that, and we kind of go through that with the foot washing because your feet are what your direction goes.
Right.
If you choose to wash your feet with him, because literally when I was sitting down there washing my children's feet, I'm representing the Messiah to them as a servant. You know, and if I kissed their feet, I kissed my wife's feet. You want their path to be straight, as John the Baptist said, quoting Isaiah. You want their path to be straight. And Dad was talking about that, setting your foot straight. And it sets the direction that you go. So if you're fighting yourself, I mean, my one daughter, she has pigeon-toed. She goes in, and it's hard for her to walk and run and sometimes. So you can kind of see how important it is to get your feet clean and set straight. So if we think about that when we're doing that process each year, that we're helping whoever we're serving to set their path straight, to clean it, to wash it. And the Scripture says, and he shall be clean. So there's a reason he asks us to do it, to be clean. And a lot of it is just plain obedience. Are you going to jump in the Jordan 7 times or not?
Right.
You know? Was the Jordan special? Only because Jehovah was there,
right,
and blessing it. You know, it enters in. I mean, there's so much to think about in this journey. I mean, they wandered from Goshen to Sukkoth in the first day. I mean, it doesn't tell us literally in here, but the book of Yeridah talks about on the 15th they camped in Sukkoth. Think about how far is that? How far is that, Mark? You ever think about how far it is from Goshen to Sukkoth? I've seen anywhere from 20 to 40 miles. It's because you're going from the northwest down to the edge of the border of physical Egypt.
Yeah, actually, your Ramses is about 4 to 5 miles. It's like walking to your house.
Yeah, sure it is. From here? Yeah, from here. So how long do you think it take animals, cattle, children? Let's say they could average 2 miles an hour. Let's give it a benefit of 20 miles. 2 miles an hour. That's 40 hours. Okay, maybe it wasn't quite that far. If it was 10 miles, let's say get less distance. It was 10 miles. That's still okay, let's say they could walk 40 miles or 4 miles an hour. So, let's say it's 10 miles, 4 miles an hour. It's, you know, it's what, 2.5 hours?
Yeah.
Let's say it's 20 miles. 20 miles at 4 miles an hour, that's 5 hours. Right? If it's 40 miles, and then they can walk, I don't think they can walk 4 miles an hour. You ever walk cattle? I say 2 miles an hour. Because you, if you ever walk behind cattle bringing them home and children?
Military time, they figure about 3 miles an hour.
Okay, military, I don't think they were marching like military. So let's say 2 miles an hour. Okay, so if it's 40 miles from northwest Egypt to the border, which is before they get into the Sinai Peninsula, you know, let's say that's 40 miles. And at 2 miles an hour, I mean, that's bare minimum, 20 hours. So I asked myself, did they have enough time to get there? Depending on my starting point. So, but that's a timing thing. That's a math thing Mark likes. I understand Mark when he says that. But anyway, it's just interesting. Put yourself in that situation. You got to go 40 miles in a day, basically. You know, that's going to take some time. And the children aren't going to want to go that fast. They're going to want to... Of course, they're probably going to want to get out of there too, just like the parents did. But they're probably going to want to play with the animals or whatever. You know, the animals don't move that fast. They're going to have water. I mean, there's a lot of logistics to work out. But I just want you to think about it. They had a process to go through in cleansing in this unleavened bread time. And we're going through that same process. We're marching out of Egypt. You know? So, but... The whole point is, I want you to be set free. And I know Yeshua does. That's my heart. And that you be clean. And if we don't take this time out each and every year to recommit ourselves and go through this cleansing process, we're really limiting what He can do with us. So, as kings and priests. Okay, let's go to, I want to go to the New Testament a little bit. John. So John, since we're doing what Yeshua did, what did Yeshua do, you know, that's of value to help us come out of Egypt? What was His unleavened bread that we should be eating of? Let's just go through a few examples. I think there's a principle here in John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Yeshua by night and said unto Him, Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from Elohim. For no man can do these miracles that Thou dost, except Elohim be with him. Yeshua answered and said unto him, or Emmanuel answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Elohim. So think about this. We're going towards the Red Sea. And what does the Red Sea represent in this week? What does the Red Sea represent? I mean, it says it in the Scriptures. That's what it says. I mean, I'm not making a new doctrine here or anything. If we know the Scriptures, that's what it tells us. They were baptized. So what are we talking about here then? Is that not the same thing? Right here, that you cannot see except a man be born again. So what is baptism?
Right.
That's what we're here for. We're here to be born again. Once we accepted the Messiah, we're born again, but we got to keep ourselves clean. You know, we have to have that washing every year because we've sinned. We have to come before the high priest. I mean, is it really real to us? When we're there on Passover eating, we get so many sidetracks. That is it really real to us that we're appearing before the priest of kings and priests of the world? You know, we're asking for His forgiveness. You know, do we take this serious? I mean, are we trying to come out of Egypt this week? Are we willing to listen to one another and, you know, and truly consider the pieces of the puzzle that we each have to have the bigger picture? You know, one of the biggest things that always bothered me was they said that these are shadows of things to come. When I read that scripture, I see depth, because the shadow brings depth to a picture. That always bothered me. I don't see things that are weak. I see things that are important and of value that are going to teach you things that are important, that you can bring more depth to your life. And that's what Yeshua did. He kept the feast to bring depth, to bring righteousness to all of us. To magnify it, to edify us, to glorify the Father. And so when we say these shadows are nothing, we're losing the depth that we could have of who the Messiah really is and what He wants us to be.
Exactly.
So here, this principle of being born again, I had to go through it in my own life. I mean, I did the things like the Messiah told the young prodigal, the son, that this, you did all these things, you did the commandments, but there was still something missing in my life. You know, I had to have that born again experience where I truly committed to Him and allow His be my king in the kingdom now. He's my king now. I live by His rules now. This is His land now. As toxic as it is. I mean, I get so frustrated because I try to eat off the land and try to do good, but it's still toxic because the world around me is bringing this toxic air into my soil. But I do the best I can and pray over and pray that He blesses my land and my water. And that's what we're here. We're praying that He blesses your land and your water of your body so that you can make it another year. You know, but I also know in the time of the flood that the righteous died off. You know, we see only 8 people made it through the flood. Well, that's not very good odds. That's terrible odds. Millions of people, whatever it was before. But if you know the other writings, the historical writings, it tells you that the righteous died off before that. Enoch, Methuselah. They were righteous people. But they were died in protection. They were protected from it. But Noah had a separate responsibility he had to carry forth and do, and his sons. And he messed that up too. You know? He got drunk. He shouldn't have got drunk. But so often we just look at the bad instead of all the good that people do. You know, isn't that when we come in a room, we hear one bad thing? Oh, that changes my whole perspective of you, Mary. That one bad thing. But forget all the good you've done. You know, He says those that do good. I mean, I'm going to read, if I get to that, it says that those that have done good will be resurrected. You know? Okay. But that's our carnal mind. You got to fight it all the time. You want to look at the bad rather than the good. We need that new heart. Not the heart of flesh, but the heart that really sees who the Messiah is so that you can see others how the Messiah sees them.
Yeah.
It'll change your life. You know? Sometimes I say some things I shouldn't. Sometimes I should say something and I don't. You know? But either way, you get in trouble. Because people will hold it against you. Because you weren't perfect at that moment. You didn't tell me to stop sinning. So it's not my fault. But yeah, I should have, my brother. But then when you do, I've had it where they turn on you too. Your own brothers. You know, there's people I love. It's just, I still love and respect. But I just wish they didn't have to do what they do. And I don't have to do what I do. I try to forgive. That's all I can do. That's move on. And Yeshua answered and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of Elohim. So you can't even see it. You know? That's what we're trying to do today. We're trying to see His kingdom today. We're trying to live it today. If I would have stayed home, I'd miss out. And I know that. But you fight the world, you fight your family, you just get tired sometimes, and you just want this world to end, and let's just do what we're supposed to be doing, keeping the Sabbath, keeping the feast, fellowshipping, you know, new moons, you know, getting together. But this world weighs you down. Friends turn on you, it just weighs you down. And it's hard to forgive sometimes, but we have to, or it'll hurt you for life. Okay, so Nicodemus, when he said, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Yeshua answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of Elohim. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee that you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it lists, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So at every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can this be? How can these things be? And Yeshua, or Manuel, answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowing not these things? I've seen a lot of that. A lot of masters, leaders of Israel, and don't have a clue what truly changing your heart means, and having a servant's heart, as Yeshua did. So we hurt people. And to humble yourself and say, I'm sorry, is hard. But that's what we're here for. I'm sorry if I've hurt you, Yeshua, Emmanuel. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I've hurt you, Mark, Mary, Mom, Dad. But if I don't take this time to do that, then I'm missing out. It cuts me off. That spiritual leprosy will cut you off. You won't have fellowship, and you'll be out there all alone, and the adversary will pick you apart, hook you into chaos. But you know, he's got to give you the resources to build a fellowship. You know, I get frustrated in my own. You know, my own. We live an hour or so, but you know, my vehicle, I just barely got it fixed. I can't even haul my family without a Suburban anymore. You know, and it costs money to take care of those things. I just barely got it fixed to come here so we could haul a family. And then we couldn't even put all our stuff in one vehicle anymore. We need a trailer like Mark does. He's way ahead of the game on me. But that's why we bought a camper, so we could go do those things and go fellowship, but yet we had to come to a cabin. Father throws a wrench in everything, doesn't he?
It's a good wrench.
Yeah. This plan is better. Yeah. We're cleansing, being washed in the blood and the water, so that we can be set free and fly like that little bird.
Wow.
Zipporah. So I pray for my daughter to be set free from her leprosy that she has. Oh, and then I struggle with my son. He's not eating very well. And I tried to give him something last night, and he just threw it up. You know, he's not eating. His throat's got swelling on one side. And I mean, you try to do the natural things, but you just go in debt trying to do all the natural things. And it just gets overwhelming because you pray for him. And, you know, I've had groups pray for my daughter for the last 7 years, and you still struggle with it. And it's just, why?
Yeah.
You know, because we're still in the wilderness.
You learned obedience, but I think when she suffered.
And what I think about is long suffering.
Right.
Is that one of his gifts?
Yeah.
So how do you think you get long suffering?
With praying for patience.
You know that Patty. I remember Patty when we first got married. She said, "Oh, I need more patience. So I'm going to pray for patience." You know what happened? A lot of things came along to develop patience. And isn't that what happens? You think it's going to flip like that. You got patience. Oh, I'm going to be patient with everybody. No, you're going to have things to go through to develop patience.
Exactly.
That's a cleansing process. We have a responsibility to become like Yeshua. Do the things that He did. The example that He lived. We're reading through it. We're taking of His unleavened bread. It says you have to be born again. That's not my words. See, I had to become born again in my spirit. I was baptized at 23. I mean, I walked the walk, grew up in the church. I was faithful, I feel, in doing way beyond any other kid my age. I served, gave my life to the church, but yet there was still something missing. That spirit really didn't have, it was still tablets of stone out here I was reading. It wasn't in my heart. I wasn't doing it, you know, still looking at it as being different than the world. I wasn't looking at it as a salvational plan of cleansing of my soul that gives me a life, eternal life. So I had to come to that point in my life where it changed me within, where I seen different perspective, see that the pain and suffering people go through is for a reason, and the pain and suffering I go through is for a reason. So, you know, this born-again principle has been so tainted. I mean, I hate to even talk about it, but there is something that man that did all the commandments had to do. Go and sell all the things that you lean on, all the things that you put between your Creator and you, and sell it all and start serving. You know, I start with my family, and I'm trying to reach out. It was so easy when I was a bachelor, Mark. So easy. I could be there 7 days a week serving the church, serving the wills. But when you got kids that are sick and not feeling well and dealing with their issues, teenagers, and I mean, I want to pray for my wife, too, because her health isn't the best anymore. And she's working on Friday, Saturday nights at 5 o'clock. She has to go to Chick-fil-A. They won't let her out of that bondage. And it's just, we're just trying to make up for medical bills and get caught back up. But, and I hate every minute of it. You know, so I keep praying to be set free from that bondage. You know, but I got to have the resources to have food on the table, you know, and to get caught up. And, but she carries that load, you know, and it's weakening her. She already lost her gallbladder, which I didn't want. I'm still praying that it comes back. Because it was kind of funny. When the surgeon did it, he said there was an extra sac growing around it to protect it if it did explode. So why not again?
Whoa.
You know, it was keeping those stones in there, you know. We asked him, why can't you just break them up? Well, he said they'll just come back. Well, let's figure out what we need to do to stop them from coming back. But she was in so much pain, and you know, I just felt there's no reason. When I can't tell her what to do, all I can do is pray. I love her to death. You know, I'm sure I probably done the same thing in this situation. That much pain, because she's literally just crippled up in the bathtub. You know, and she's having pain again in her stomach, and it's just, she says, thinks it's her esophagus again. And, but we got to get her to the chiropractor. I know we can probably help, you know, Miss Judy was saying the chiropractor can help alleviate that and line you, and I know that's an issue because she's out of line from having four kids. We did get her to her for a little while, but for $10 a session, we were able to do that when we were living in Farragut. But it's just, it was $250 the last time I went. Thankfully, I had a little bit of insurance to cover that. I only ended up paying like $20. But you start adding that stuff up, buying oils and trying to do it naturally, it takes it out of you as a provider, you know? You carry that. And you're praying and you're yelling and you're screaming and, you know, at Yeshua, dumping it on him. And it still overwhelms you, you know? And that's just my family. And I feel all the pain. You know, all of us are going through it, you know?
Quit sleeping, you can get another job.
Yeah, that don't work for me. I waste away to nothing.
Yeah.
And I die inside. I used to work sleep for 5 hours. It just wasn't enough for me. You know, worked 3 jobs and when I was self-employed and always working, but it's catching up with me. I'm 50 now, and it catches up with you. I need that 7-8 hours of sleep where I...
It gets better.
It gets better? Yeah, right. Mark, you're not supposed to lie. You're giving me false hope. But, anyways, I'm just saying, can we just have a prayer together as a family for my family needs, all the needs in this room? Because that's my ministry, is praying. I know I get in trouble for praying too long. Because I've done that in different groups. I pray with people and just feel like I have a gift of letting things go for people. And I just like to do that. But I found that I can't do it myself. It takes community of hearts to deal with the bigger issues. I can do it with me. Most of the time, he's healed me so many times. I mean, he helped me. It took 2 months to get over my issue I had, 2 years ago. But it was, I mean, he did it. It just took time. But I just feel so, the need that we're here coming out of Egypt, wanting to get rid of that spiritual leprosy. Why can't we do this? Why can't we claim this is the poor of Purim? We got the blood already taken care of. The bird died already for us. We got the you got the water, the Spirit, don't we? I hope.
Yes.
So what's left? We got the cedar wood, the purification of Yeshua or Emmanuel. We know He can take that red blood or that red scarlet and make it white. We've seen that in history. It's a historical account. What are we missing? His timing, I guess.
It being the living blood and sprinkling.
Sprinkling of the living blood. And that's what we tried to do at Passover. You know, I was literally praying that blood was representing that sprinkling of that bird through Yeshua's shed blood and eating of His bread, and, you know, and doing that for her. I mean, I'm just asking questions, you know, because I've seen, I mean, it's like that. I've seen miracles after miracles and miracles, but it just never stops because there's always something that is needed, you know. And sometimes it's yes, no, or wait is what I found. Yes, no, or wait. 7 years we've been waiting. Multiple groups have been praying for her. And that's just one case. I mean, there's a girl that's having seizures right in this room. You watch her? I mean, my heart is just, you be healed in the power and shed blood of Messiah. Try it with Gene. Heal his mind. Give his mind back. Shalom. But no.
You know? You should not be disappointed, though.
No, I'm not. Because it's a protection. Death is a protection. That's the way I look at it. I mean, being here, I mean, I told Phil this and he hated me for it, but being here is living in H-E-L-L if you don't have Yeshua.
Yeah, right.
If you're not under His authority, you're tormented every day of your life. You just don't know it.
Right.
You know, you don't know it. My heart just goes out. You don't know what you're missing. If you can't do these things, if you can't bring righteousness to your life, if it's a burden to you, you haven't been born again.
Right, absolutely.
If you think the elder brother of all mankind came as a rebellious son to do away with the Father's law, you don't know Him.
That's right. Absolutely.
And that's not condemnation. That's just loving what He's done for us. That's just yearning, sighing and crying for the abominations around us. You know? And I'm not perfect, but I do know I have a mature heart of 6,000 years of experience flowing through my blood. Because I've tried to walk this walk as the son did, but he still had to sell everything that he had and give to the poor. So today, that's a responsibility that we have responsibility to do. And love is a verb. You know, in the Hebrew, it's a verb. Well, I think love is a commitment to nurture one another. It's not just saying, I love you. But it's a commitment. But it's so hard because you can't be there every day to nurture every soul in this world. But Yeshua did that. You know? So we have to let Him do that. But I do, as a priest to my family, I do have a responsibility to be an example to them, and I'm not perfect in that. And I get tired, too. But so, just in summation, we're going to pray for the needs in this room. But I just want you to think about that bird being set free because Yeshua, you choose you this day, which God you'll serve. I'm serving the one that set that little bird free. His blood and His water cleansed it to be free of spiritual leprosy. So think about that this week. Choose the one and eat of His bread this week so you can come out of Egypt, because we still are in Egypt spiritually. Thank you.